Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The thing about circles is that they never really end. Gee, thanks, Pastor. Teach me something I don't know. You come to its end, but it's also the beginning. Often that's a good thing. Circles expand, circles include, circles keep on keeping on. But they can contract, exclude, bind us up, fall flat and stop where they are, or grow in all of the wrong ways. It's a vicious circle we're in, some say, a chain of events in which the response to one difficulty creates a new problem that aggravates the original difficulty, and on, aka what's bad keeps getting worse. The chasm bordering our divisions erodes the ground between us, and we have less space to stand and less chance to hear one another. Wars and conflict beget wars and conflict. Lives are lost, the earth is scarred. Another generation carries the stress and trauma of previous ones. There are some things, many things, we don't want to keep going. We are not the first generation, nor will we be the last, to turn back and dream about how things once were. To get back to a golden era, a better day, we often mourn the loss of innocence. I do that when reading the book of Acts. For all of the beautiful stories of faith and growth and hope and healing and raising against all odds, I am left wondering about our odds, our lot, our time. Is the Spirit still among us? Is the church still growing? Is God still acting? Has Elvis left the building? I echo the apostles' question in Acts chapter 1, Lord, is this the time when you'll restore the kingdom? I am grateful for this question. I need to hear it and read it, to look back and remember that the golden eras were also tarnished with loss and conflict, pain and brokenness, and that somehow, against all odds, people made a way, kept the faith when it was so hard to find, did good works in the face of bad days. Okay, so that it was also bad before is not the most compelling reason to hope, but hear me out. The church in the days of Acts did not exist in a gentle world, a better world. They faced significant crisis. Israel was hemmed in by a brutal Roman Empire that gave them roads and aqueducts, but also crucifixions and oppressive tax systems. The way of Jesus was persecuted and pushed out. Where was God during the devastation of God's own temple and the bloody persecution of God's people? Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom? Where was God? Not in the center of power as we understand it, but at the edges, working a power that the rulers of the day could only dream about, among surprising places and people. Jaffa or Yafo is a little city south of Tel Aviv on the edge of the Big Sea, about as far as you can be from Jerusalem while still being in the same land. Jaffa is, as its name suggests, beautiful. Its natural harbor and stone streets still bring in the day's catch of fish, and they are still set ablaze by the stunning Mediterranean sunsets. How Tabitha, the only woman in all of Scripture designated as a disciple, comes to be in Joppa, or comes to be a disciple, we don't know. We just know that she was simply Mathetria, a female disciple. I like this word, Mathetria, because we hear the first word, math, and we think, yes, it's something you have to think through, which you do. A Mathetria is one who has learned from and followed Jesus, a disciple, a student. But this student was separate from her school. She wasn't among the church in Jerusalem. She was in Joppa, on the sea. And her studying, her following, led her to a life of service among the widows at the edge of the land and at the edge of life's care. Widows, Will Willimon reminds us, by definition are poor, on the bottom rung of society, without anyone to represent them or to protect them, except for Tabitha, whose witness was so important that Luke translates her name from the Aramaic to the Greek, Dorcas, so that everyone would be able to understand who she was and what she was about. What does Tabitha or Dorcas mean? Gazelle. It means one who is beloved. And it's easy to see why. While the world spun madly on in vicious cycles, she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. From her hands, a virtue circle spun out and out and out. A circle that has no clear beginning or an end, just good works, making more good works, making more good works, on and on. Tabitha clothed the poor, the needy, and the vulnerable. She stood with widows and gave them good news. Life was not over. God was still making a way. But in the category of bad things happening to good people, which I'm pretty tired of myself, not sure about you, Tabitha grew ill and she died, and her work with her. Another loss stacked up in the trash pile of history, another ring in the vicious circle. Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom? So the women do what they had always done in those days. They prepared the body for burial. They washed her, performing an act of service so tender, so fragile, that it could only be done by the strongest and the bravest, the widows, the women who had faced death before. They placed Tabitha's body in the upper room, the prayer room, the room thought to be closest to God, a gathering place for people to mourn and say goodbye. This was the end, but also the beginning. Now, word was that Peter was nearby, and he would know what to do. If only he would come and hear about Tabitha's ministry, perhaps assign some other disciple to pick it up. So the disciples in Joppa sent for Peter, asking him to come without delay. And for all the things that Peter gets wrong earlier in Luke's gospel, here in Acts, he gets it right. He came right away. He restored the kingdom of God, not to the halls of power, not in some grand victory march, but in the life of a beloved disciple who was devoted to works and acts of charity. Peter listened to the widows as they cried, and they showed him Tabitha's work. And then he ushered them out of the room so that he could sit with Tabitha, to sit with his friend, to kneel down and pray to God. We have no record of what we prayed, but perhaps he prayed as Jesus taught him, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I don't know what led him to what came next, but for some reason, Peter thought to turn to the body, to turn to Tabitha and say, Tabitha, beloved, get up. And she did. Behold, the kingdom of God. Not where we would go looking for it, but right where we need to find it. In poverty, riches, in death, life, in the end, a beginning. Fun fact, the word that Peter said to Tabitha is the word for resurrection. It's the same word spoken to Philip by the Spirit to go on that wilderness road. It's the same word heard by a blinded Saul on his way to Damascus. Tabitha, get up. Tabitha, rise. Tabitha, stand. Continue your works of and acts of charity. Love the widows. Sew your tunics with the Spirit of God that will not be barred even by death. Resurrection isn't just for the end. It happens all the time around us. While the book of Acts may close at chapter 28, it does not end. For the power of God is still alive and at work in this world. Not where we would always expect, among the headlines or the bottom lines, but oh, God's kingdom comes right where we need it. At the edges, among the widows, in the struggle, as death creeps in. Yes, there is a vicious, cruel, and harsh world that encircles us. There is also virtue and dignity and goodness that flows from God, circulating hope among us, between us, within us, and beyond us. Just like for Tabitha and Paul and Philip, for the Ethiopian, the churches, and the widows, our story is still being written. Even in the places and people you have given up on, God hasn't. So get up, rise, and stand where God calls you. We've got lives to change and good work yet to do. And we don't ever do it alone. Amen.